Compassion is about so much more than just feeling sorry for someone. It's about so much more than just having sympathy for someone. Compassion actually means to suffer with other people. It means to feel with other people. Someone's put it like this. I think actually this is the Compassion Children's website, the sponsor website, if you're familiar with that. But this is how they put it. Compassion means someone else's heartbreak becomes your heartbreak. Another's suffering becomes your suffering. I wonder if you ever felt so moved by suffering, so moved by the plight of someone else that you feel it in your bones, you feel it in your stomach, you feel it emotionally to the point where you've just got to do something, you've got to help in some way. Have you ever felt like that? That sort of compassion for others. Compassion's a really powerful thing. Now, Mark's gospel, news about Jesus has been spreading like wildfire, especially news about the miracles. Crowds are following him everywhere. The whole town was gathered at that home last week. And last time we saw what Jesus' priorities were, prayer. He went to the solitary place. And preaching, he said, this is why I've come, to tell people the good news. But today, from verse 40 of chapter 1 into chapter 2, verse 12, we see two people with great needs. And they come to Jesus. And in Jesus' response to them, we see his compassion. And how his compassion changes these two individuals. And I wonder right at the start, I wonder, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? Have you experienced his compassion for yourself? Has your heart, your life been changed by him? That's the big question we've got to ask as we come to these two amazing stories. So have that in your minds as we look at the stories of these two people. But the first person that we meet, chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, is a man who in that culture would have been seen as being, in the most negative sense of the world, absolutely untouchable. That's the first story we see. I wonder, like me, have you tried to blank out the COVID years? Try to forget about all of that? Well, I remember during that time, one of the strangest things, isn't this true? One of the strangest things during that time was the sort of disappearance of the way we greet people. Northern Ireland, what do you do when you meet somebody? Well, I do it all the time anyway. You have the hand out and you shake their hand. And wasn't it just so strange, so bizarre, not being able to do that? Well, I remember in the early days of the COVID years, the pandemic, I must have had a brain freeze moment. I don't know what happened. But on the way out of the church door at the end of a service, what did I do? I put my hand out to shake a man's hand. And the look I got, honestly, it was shock. It was annoyance. He was disturbed. He was, what are you doing? All I wanted to do was shake his hand. I don't know what happened. My brain must have just melted down at that point. But during those months, shaking someone's hand, it was absolutely, culturally, socially unacceptable, wasn't it? You couldn't do it. You were frowned upon. And we understand why, of course. But I'll never forget that moment and me feeling really silly. Well, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to how people viewed leprosy and people with leprosy in the first century. They were untouchable. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 40. The first person who comes to Jesus is a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, leprosy refers here to various different skin conditions, including Hansen's disease, we'd be familiar with that, the nerve damage, lust, sensation, all of that. But in those days, there was a huge cultural stigma attached to leprosy. This was a dreaded disease. People wrongly, in most cases, believed it was contagious, infectious, and particularly in the religious arena, people with leprosy were seen as being ceremonially unclean, untouchable. Listen to Leviticus 13. Listen to what it has to say about lepers and leprosy. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. One historian writes that a leper was treated in no way different to a corpse. Isn't that really strong? But that's how leprosy was viewed in those days. People with leprosy were shunned. They were ignored. They were isolated. They were seen as being absolutely untouchable. You would not go near someone with leprosy. Ever. Mark records that a man with leprosy came to Jesus. I remember when I was a student physiotherapist, and we were learning, of course, in those days, but we were often told that we shouldn't refer to patients as their condition. There was a real tendency in the hospitals there to talk about, you know, the broken leg in cubicle 2 or whatever it is. These are people, these are individuals. Use their name. And that came into my head as I look at this story. Because this isn't just a leper. This isn't just a leper. This is a man. An individual. Someone created in the image of God. Someone with dignity and value and worth. Here's a man with this awful disease, and he's coming to Jesus. We can't begin to imagine what his life must have been like in that culture, in those days, living with this disease. It must have been horrific. The leprosy had invaded his system. It was spreading everywhere. It meant he was totally isolated from the world, living alone, and all the shame attached to it. Yet this man, he breaks all the rules, doesn't he? All the cultural, religious, social norms and barriers and expectations, he breaks them all. And he comes right up to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. This would have been shocking in those days for this man to even come near Jesus. And so how does Jesus respond to this man who would have been seen as being untouchable? Verses 41 and 42. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, it depends what translation of the Bible you've got in front of you. When you see that word indignant, you might think to yourself, that's terrible. Indignant? Because we think angry, don't we? We think cross. We think not happy at all that this man's in front of him. But actually that word means, in other translations it says, Jesus was filled with compassion. Compassion. He was deeply moved. He felt it in the pit of his stomach. He felt it emotionally. This man in front of him, this man struggling. He was filled with compassion. And Jesus touches the untouchable. He touches him. He reaches out and he touches him and the man is cleansed. And Jesus, you'll notice there in verse 44, he tells him to go through all the religious laws and rituals, go to the priest and all that sort of stuff. And he warns him, you know, not to tell anybody about it. Do you remember the hysteria over Jesus? People focusing on the miracles. He didn't want them to get distracted. And part of us understands this man's reaction, don't we? You know, Jesus says, don't tell anyone. What does the man do? He goes and tells the whole world. We sort of get that, don't we? Given what his life had been like, given what he's been through, he spreads the news everywhere. He couldn't contain himself. But of course, that meant that Jesus couldn't enter a town openly anymore. Sort of limited what he could do. But this story, I think it speaks to us powerfully about Jesus' compassion, about Jesus' love and care for people, about Jesus' kindness towards someone who would have been seen as being untouchable Don't go near him. Steer clear of him. Don't even look at him. Yet Jesus touched him. There's a real story about a real man who was really cleansed. But the picture here, and we see this time and time again in the Bible, the picture of leprosy is really a picture of sin, isn't it? It's a picture of sin. You sin that invades our systems. Sin that spreads throughout our bodies. Sin that extends out into our words and our actions, how we live our lives. Brokenness, mess. And here is the power of Jesus making this man clean. You have just been singing a hymn that talks about Jesus washing sinners white as snow. Do I love how Warren Wiersbe puts it? He says, anyone who has never trusted the Savior is spiritually in worse shape than this man was physically. Your leprosy was really bad. Debilitating, isolating, devastating. Really bad. But you know something? Sin, so much worse. Consequences of sin, so much worse. This man was cleansed physically. We're not sure where he is spiritually. But what he needed more than anything else was forgiveness. What he needed more than anything else was his sin dealt with. And I want to take you back to where I started today. You have that question. Have you come to Jesus? Have you experienced his compassion, his touch, his forgiveness? Because he didn't primarily come to do all of these miracles and heal people. Jesus came to rescue people. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came because people like you and I desperately need to be forgiven. We've got sin in our hearts we can't deal with. We need a Savior. He came to do that. He came to make that possible out of his love and grace and mercy and compassion. I wonder if you come to Jesus. Maybe you feel like you're too far gone. Maybe you feel like, my life's a mess. How could Jesus want me? How could Jesus love me? Well, look at this story. Jesus touches the untouchable. No one's too far away. No one's too far gone. No one's untouchable. Isn't this a powerful story about Jesus' compassion and the difference that that makes in someone's life? That's the first individual. Second individual we meet. Is it different in many ways? But you'll notice at the start of chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Jesus goes back to Capernaum, back home, back to where he was raised. And we're told that there are so many people. This is a recurring theme, isn't it? He's doing miracles, healings. There were so many people that the entrance to the house was jammed. There was no way in, no way out. Nowadays, we'd be worried about a fire hazard, weren't we? Health and safety and risk assessments and all that sort of stuff. The place was jammed. But don't miss what Jesus was doing here. All these people, crowds following him, getting excited. What was Jesus doing in verse 2? The crowds were craving more miracles. And verse 2 says, he preached the word to them. He preached the word to them. That was his priority. That's why he came. He came to tell people the good news. He came to tell people about the kingdom, about forgiveness, because that's what they really needed to hear. That was his priority. But then we have another real life illustration, another real man, not this time with leprosy, but this time, as we thought about with the kids, a man who is paralyzed, a man, if you like, who is physically broken. Really, verses 1 to 12. So what do we learn about this man? Remember, this is a real person. Real person in history. Well, look at verse 1. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. So what do we learn about this man? Well, not an awful lot, do we, really? We know that he is paralyzed. We know that he needs to be carried. We know that he's got four good friends because they're prepared to carry him. And his route to coming to Jesus, well, it's very different to the man with leprosy. This house is chock-a-block. There's no way in. And his friends, out of their love and their care and their compassion and with a great deal of determination, they find a way, don't they? They don't just see the place crammed full of people and say, oh, we'll just go home here and leave it. They are determined. And they get up on that roof somehow, and we're not going to speculate what happened there, but you know, the roofs in those days would have been flat roofs made of sticks and mud and clay and all sorts of stuff. Could have been 2 feet thick. But they somehow get up onto that roof, and we're told, literally, they dug a hole in the roof. Can you imagine? They dug a hole in someone's roof. They were that determined to get this man to Jesus. And I've always pictured this scene, not just the roof and the outside, but can you imagine the people inside that house? You know, Jesus is preaching to them. And in the middle of the sermon, bits of the roof start falling in. Can you imagine if that happened here? Sticks and stones and bits of clay start landing. Can you imagine how the people must have reacted? Now, we don't know how exactly they reacted, but look what happens. Eventually, when this man is in the presence of Jesus, he's physically broken. He's paralyzed. He has likely been through so much in his life. Can you imagine in that culture to not be able to walk? He is desperate for physical healing. He's desperate to walk again. He's desperate for Jesus to sort that out, his physical brokenness. But what does Jesus say to him? Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine their reaction, his friend's reaction? Because after Jesus responds to him, as they look at it, nothing's changed. He was still lying on the mat. On the outside, it would have looked as if nothing has changed. Were they disappointed? Were they shocked? We don't know. These men had done everything to get their friend to Jesus. But something else had changed, hadn't it? Something much more significant. Something much deeper. Because out of Jesus' compassion, he has gone so much further than just addressing this man's physical needs. He has gone to the heart of a much deeper, bleaker problem. The problem of sin and brokenness and rebellion and disobedience. He's gone to the heart and he's addressed this man's greatest need, and that was for forgiveness. He needed to be forgiven. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. You, all of us, have experienced some degree of physical brokenness in our lives, haven't we? All of us. I've often heard people say, your health is your wealth. Have you heard that expression? And you know, we do understand why people would say that. We totally get it. Because we struggle when our bodies fail us. We struggle when illness comes, whether it's acute illness, chronic illness, whatever the health issues are, whatever the physical limitations are, really hard, really debilitating, really we struggle with all of these things. And we understand why someone might say, your health is your wealth. But the truth is, the reality is that ultimately our bodies are diminishing anyway, aren't they? We know that over time, we experience that. And beyond our physical brokenness, our greatest need, the same as the need of this paralyzed man, our greatest need is on the inside. Our greatest need is in our hearts because we are spiritually broken. And we mightn't want to hear that. We mightn't want to accept that. But that's the reality. We're spiritually broken on the inside. And we desperately need forgiveness. You were told here that Jesus saw their faith. And I think he's looking at all five of these people, including the man on the mat. That's because of their faith that the forgiveness comes. And it's the same for us. You and I can be forgiven all of our sins. We can be set free from all of that if we come and trust in Jesus because of our faith, because of God's grace. To borrow the words of a hymn that we're familiar with, this is the power of the cross. That Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. I wonder if you come to the cross, have you come to Jesus, have you experienced this forgiveness for yourself in your own heart, your own life? It's the best thing ever. It's the most amazing thing ever. The kids, are they amazed at Jesus? Are you and I amazed at what Jesus has done for us? Forgiveness is what you and I really need. Now, we don't have time for the rest of the details of this passage, but you'll notice that the religious leaders were on the scene, the teachers of the law. Can you imagine the looks in their faces? They were not happy. They generally aren't happy, are they? They're critical. They're hostile. They're sitting thinking to themselves, we're told in the text. And of course, they accuse Jesus of blasphemy. You know, they say, only God can forgive sins. And they were right, weren't they? Because that's true. Only God can forgive sins. And the text tells us that Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking about. Do you know the beautiful reality of this? That Jesus is God. And therefore, Jesus could forgive sins. Here was the Son of Man. He describes himself here as the Son of Man. Here is the one who came to establish God's kingdom on earth, who came to give his life as a ransom for many. And to prove he had that power and authority, what does he do after forgiving the man? Take your mat, get up and walk. And in front of all those people, in front of the religious leaders sitting, thinking to themselves, talking to themselves, in front of all of these people, that man who hadn't walked, got up and walked away. This is an amazing story. This is a spectacular story. And I think at the heart of it, at the heart of the healing of the leper, the man with leprosy, at the heart of this man getting up to walk again, is Jesus' compassion, Jesus' love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness towards the untouchable, towards the broken. You know, because of our sin, you and I, we're broken, aren't we? All around us in our lives, out there in the world, there are people who are broken, who are lost. There are people who may be feeling themselves that they're untouchable. How could I go to a church? And maybe sometimes we stand in judgment on other people, do we? If we've been really honest. Jesus was full of compassion. He felt the needs of people in his heart and his stomach. And he did something about it. I wonder, and I'm going to finish where I started. Have you come to Jesus? Have you, in your life, in your heart, experienced his compassion, his forgiveness? Has your life been changed? Because that's why Jesus came. He didn't come to impress the crowds. He didn't come to as just another good teacher. He came as a savior. He came as a rescuer. He came with a heart of compassion to reach out to lost people like us. Have you experienced it for yourself? He longs for you to come to him. He longs for you to experience forgiveness. He longs to change your heart and life. All we have to do is come. Come to him and receive his love, his grace, his mercy. Shall we take a moment to pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these amazing stories, for the way in which Jesus demonstrated his compassion towards the untouchable, towards the broken. Father, thank you for the cross, that place where the Savior made it possible for us to be whole, to be cleansed, to be forgiven, for our sins to be washed away. Lord, we worship you. We're so grateful for the gospel. And we pray that today and tomorrow and every day, you would help us to be amazed at who you are, amazed at what you've done, and wanting to bring this amazing good news to the people all around us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we sing together?